Well, what a blessing it is again to be saved, born again. Again, like I said, this is the last Wednesday of the month, and so December, the last month of the year, is right around the corner. My soul, and so we want to keep that in mind, and so we'll send a message out to everyone on the prayer request page to make sure we update everything for our new prayer sheets next week as we get into. As we get into our prayer meeting. So just a few announcements tonight before we go to our offering this evening. Obviously, we're not going to have an offertory song tonight. And Brother Preston's been playing one. We've been singing along the past few weeks. I've enjoyed that. It's been a blessing. So just want to remind everyone, we have our prayer meeting, our revival prayer meeting at 8:30 this coming Friday morning. And if you'd like to be part of that and you are not, please get in touch with me or with Jax. And really and truly, just as of right now, get in touch with either one of us, but I'll check in with Jax as well to see if she's able to make it back. Or, I mean, she may have quite a bit on her plate right now with her dad, so do keep them in prayer, please. Ladies' devotions next week, next Thursday, the 2nd of December. So, ladies, you'll be there in your place at 10 a.m. I know you guys will have a wonderful time. Be looking forward to it. Please continue to pray for Calvary Baptist Church of Cardiff. We had our past two Sundays. Decent turnout this past Sunday night. And as well as the first one. So keep that in prayer, guys. We're doing another massive leaflet drop that's going on. Actually, should have started today down there. So we're just trying to get the word out, get so that everybody knows that the church is there, and we want to see it grow. Again, continue to pray for our candlelight Christmas service here on Christmas Eve. We're excited about that. I'll try to get the banner up this week as well. If we got the same banner, I believe we do, that matches the leaflets that we have left. And so we'll get those will go out also. So we're excited about it. Invite someone. Tell them about it. Bring them here. And we're looking forward to it. All right, so Daniel, if you'll come tonight for our offering real quick, just come and bless the offering this evening. We won't have any music for offering tonight. And then we'll go ahead tonight and with our...
Heavenly Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for keeping all of us safe during cold weather. Thank you for keeping us safe at work, Lord. Please protect everyone on the way home tonight. Please bless the offering, Lord. Please bless the message. Just in prayer. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Right.
Well, the rest of you can open up the book of John. It won't take long there, and we'll get started tonight. All right, we're going to be in John chapter 11 tonight. John chapter 11. We're going to read quite a few verses.
I'll tell you what, if I said anything, this message is really kind of on the backside of yesterday's questions and answers Bible study. We had one of the questions that was mentioned about why the Lord waits on answering some prayers. And, you know, we give a few, and it was really an opinion-based question, and that's fine. And I kind of alluded to this story here, this event, this recording of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. So we're going to review that tonight. We're going to look at it and just kind of not necessarily answering that question again, but just, you know, the greatest answer that you're going to find in the world today, what the Lord gives us in these handful of verses. So we're going to read by way of introduction tonight, John chapter 11. Look with me in verse 1. So we'll start John chapter 11, look in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So, beloved, we know the story of Lazarus and of Mary and of their sister Martha. And we know it quite well. As a matter of fact, in times past, we went over the seven miracles that occur in the book of John, this being one of them. And, we've seen these things, how they're specifically mentioned and how they begin to, how they're written out throughout John's gospel there. And my beloved, I'm convinced today that this event, again, we know the purpose of it. We know that that the Lord makes it very clear in the forefront. You got to keep in mind, John's writing his gospel many years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not writing it as it's going on. He's writing it years down the way. And he details, John, the Holy Ghost uses John's writing, or his character, if you will, his temperament of writing, differently than he did the other three gospels, the other three authors. And we can see that, in John's writing. And it's clear, like in verse 4, where it says that when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now, if we were to stop there and say, well, hang on a second. If we look at verse 4, then we fast track to verse 14, Lazarus is now dead. We're thinking, well, hang on a second. Was Jesus wrong? No, he made it clear. This is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. There was a clear purpose for Lazarus being sick and therefore dying. So I'm convinced tonight that the raising of Lazarus' death is a perfect picture, if you will, a perfect picture of the answer to man's death. It is the answer. And you say, well, hang on, preacher, this is a literal resurrection. This is a literal bringing back to life. This is a literal quickening unto physical life. Yes, it is. And we can see that answer as well in our own lives. Maybe not right here now, but we will in the future. Amen. So, beloved, what I want us to understand first and foremost tonight, that Christ can perform the impossible. He can perform the impossible. Look in verse 17 with me. The Bible says, and then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So he'd been dead 4 days. They had buried him 4 days. And beloved, if you've ever looked out at have you ever looked at a particular person in their life, and maybe you've seen someone in your community or in your village or your class, your school, whatever, and you says, you know what? You know, they're never in their life going to be saved. Or they're never going to live. If they live to be 18 years old, it'll be an absolute miracle. Have you ever looked at someone and actually said those things? Now, maybe in your early Christian life, in your early Christian years, you've probably said something or thought something like that. I mean, I got to be honest. I know that there's people that we minister to, or we try to minister to multiple times a week, a month, all the time, through text message, through personal conversation, through speaking to them. And in the back of our mind, we say, my soul, if that person ever gets saved, man, it's going to be an absolute miracle. Guys, any salvation is a miracle point, and that's number one. But number two, when you look at that one person who you're like, my soul, what a breakthrough it would be if they got saved. I can think of a half a dozen people just right off the top of my head right now. But you know, Jesus Christ can perform the impossible. And raising the dead is an impossible feat, but not for Jesus Christ. You see, when I talk about people that I say, boy, if they're ever going to get saved, man, that'd be a miracle. Or that person's never going to get saved. Many would have said that the same thing about a young man by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a drunken professional baseball player who was saved after hearing the gospel in the Pacific Garden missions on the streets of Chicago. He said this after he was saved, born again, and after he was preaching for years on. He said, nowadays we think we are too smart to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus and too well educated to believe in the resurrection. That's why people are going to the devil in multitudes. This guy was a drunk. I mean, this guy would, I mean, nobody, they would have looked at him and said, he's a professional baseball player. He's got everything that he ever wanted. And he got saved, born again, and The ministers convinced him to leave professional baseball and become a full-time evangelist. And he did. And he preached to thousands, and thousands got saved. R.E. Torrey is another example. At one last night in a motel room, he was unable to sleep. He was weary of life, and his problems were pressing down on every side. And he decided, I'm just going to get out of bed. I'm going to take that gun out of the drawer, and I'm going to end my life. But as he stood up, his mother's words came back to him. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. He fell on his knees. He cried out and said, O God of my mother, if there be such a being, I need help. I need light. If you will give it to me, I will follow you. And with tears running down his face, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus as a Savior. He hurried home, and the first person he wanted to tell was his mother that her prayers had been answered. And the moment that he got saved in that motel room, did you know his mother was at her bedside praying in tears for him? What about the Apostle Paul? Can you imagine if we would have had newspapers? If there would have been newspapers in the day, in those days that Paul was running around, or when he was Saul? Can you see the headlines? Saul of Cilicia persecutes followers of Jesus Christ. Or maybe it would say, Saul the saint breathes out threatenings and slaughter against the defectives of Jewry. Saul raises havoc among foolish believers. Or Saul to travel to Damascus to arrest dissidents with high priest blessing. And then all of a sudden, that same Saul, that very same one, 3 years later, after hearing all the rumors, rumor after rumor, of the whereabouts of Saul, he returns to Jerusalem for 15 days, saved, born again of the blood of Christ, had become the very thing that he had hunted down. Wouldn't you say that would be someone that somebody sit back and say, that person is never going to get saved? I mean, the guy's chaining people up, forcing them to deny Jesus Christ, to recant their profession of faith. Beloved, Jesus Christ came to perform the impossible, and I believe we need to understand that. I mean, for Lazarus, he was 4 days dead. According to Jewish tradition, the soul did not completely exit the body until the third day. This is Jewish tradition. This is not Bible. So a small hole was placed, or was constructed, if you will, into the different sepulchres so the soul could exit according to their tradition. As individuals finally would reach death, they would say. So here was Lazarus, dead and buried for 4 days. You know why Jesus waited for 4 days? So that there would be no question whatsoever, according to tradition, that Lazarus was completely dead. For Billy Sunday, it was salvation, sobriety, and security. For R.A. Torrey, it was everlasting life. It was comfort of heart, soul, mind, and body. And it was the evangelistic trail. For Paul, it was a calling to conversion, which rang out across the world with the gospel going to the regions beyond, to the most unlikely souls, the impossibility in the eyes of the world. So the very one who was the greatest impossibility amongst all of the religious heights was the very one who brought the gospel to those that the world had already deemed too lost, too far gone. The Scythians, the barbarians, I mean, the vile creatures in this world today. Paul said, I owe a debt to them. Why? Because he wanted to see the impossible done. So even though Christ performs the impossible, it's not always immediate. This is kind of on the backside, if you will, of yesterday's Q&A Bible study. It's not always immediate. Look with me, if you will, in verse 18. I'm going to say it's not always immediate, but it is always with intention and purpose. Verse 18 says, Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Can I ask you a question tonight? And I want you to answer this in your heart as sincere as you humanly can. How many times do we find ourselves running here, running there, trying to get everything in the world done in as little much time as possible? How many times do we find ourselves doing? How many times are we trying to fill a 5-pound bag with 10 pounds of sand? A lot of times. This was Martha. Martha was always seen to be running everywhere, never taking time to just wait and watch, never taking time to just stop and breathe. She was going all over the place, watching for the Lord. And many of us wonder why our prayers are not answered the very next minute. Why is our prayers not answered exactly the way we live our life, going here to there, here to there, here to there. And sometimes, God's a minute. God, like I said, Jesus Christ will perform the impossible. He did so, and He's going to do that by raising Lazarus from the dead. But sometimes it's not immediate. Jesus waited until He was 4 days dead. 4 days in that sepulcher until He came. And now what happens? Martha comes running out and says, listen, if you'd have been here, he'd never died. The Lord's answer may be delayed sometimes, but it's never without purpose. The delays of your prayers or your answer to your prayers may not be denials. They simply may be a postponement. Sometimes we understand that what we ask the Lord, we ask unbelieving. James said, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. How many times are we guilty of coming to the Lord in prayer, quickly placing our wants and needs on the altar, and the second we get up, we run out the door as fast as we can to try to help those prayers get answered. Lord, if you will, do this, 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 and such, and this and that. And then we jump up and we go right after those very things we've asked the Lord to do for us. There comes a time, guys, when we must place our prayers, our requests upon the altar of Christ. Let them be answered in His time. Just because His time is not immediate, just because His response is not immediate, does not mean He doesn't hear you. Despite who or what we may be, guys, or even what we have been, Christ is the answer to man's death tonight. A sentence that was placed upon upon mankind 6,000 years ago in the garden. When the choice of one man resulted in the death of all. Somehow today, you may be trying to justify your life and actions and justify what you're doing. And maybe you think because you've had a hard life that God's just going to let you walk into heaven with no questions asked. Friend, small, great, rich, poor, hardship, kinship alike, does not matter. We're all going to go through the same door. And I've said this and I say this again. This world doesn't owe you one thing. This government doesn't owe you anything. Nobody owes you one thing in this life. If you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to walk through the doorway constructed of the cross of Calvary. And it's solidified in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it was given victory over Him stepping out of that tomb. Same doorway, no matter who you are. So guys, your prayers tonight may not be answered immediately. But God can and God will. Jesus can and Jesus will perform the impossible. So not only did Christ come to perform the impossible, which is not always immediate, but He for those that believe, He will make intercession. Look in verse 23 with me. Verse 23 tells me clearly, it says there in our scripture, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's what he said unto her. Now, I imagine in all of my heart of hearts, in all of her depression and all of her being upset and running around and all this. And I get it. I put myself in her shoes and I understand clearly where she is. That when the Lord, when the Master, when the Messiah says, listen, He's going to live again. She's like, I know in the resurrection. You know, you comfort someone that's lost a loved one and say, you know what? You're going to be united again. You know that already. For a saved, born-again individual, we understand that we're going to be reunited once again in heaven. We get that, and praise God for it. But I guarantee you tonight, guys, that if I lost my wife right here, right now, there is not a single word you're going to say unto me that, number one, I don't already know by Scripture, number two, that's going to comfort me in that moment. Not one word. And I understand that. I get where Martha is. I understand where she is. But at the same time, we need to understand that it is our Savior who's going to make intercession. That Holy Spirit of God makes intercessions on our behalf to the Son of God, who makes intercessions to the Father of God on our behalf tonight. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercessions for them." Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for what? For His creation. I mean, we, again, still part of the questions that we were answering yesterday during Q&A Bible study. You know, referring to the omniscience of God and the omnipotence of God, as we talked about on Sunday morning. Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. How did He do that? He did it on the cross of Calvary. He did that when He shed His perfect blood, when He put it upon the mercy seat. He did that when He proclaimed victory, stepping out of that grave. Jesus Christ wants us to believe. He wants us to believe in His intercession, guys. He wants us to understand what He's doing on our behalf. I want you to notice the picture here. As Lazarus is lying in the grave and where we are right now. He's 4 days dead, and therefore he is a picture, number one. He's a picture of the laying dead tonight. Without a shadow of a doubt, without any question whatsoever, he is physically dead. Hebrews 9 says, "As in it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Countless multitudes of souls die every single day. The effect of 1.8 persons die every second. 1.8 every second. Imagine how long we've been in church already tonight. How many people have walked off this face of this planet, either gone to heaven or gone to hell. So Lazarus is an ultimate picture of the laying dead today. Number two, we see here a picture of the living dead. Guys, when a man is tried and convicted and sentenced to death, as the sentence is carried out, and as he walks down that hallway to the electric chair or the gas chamber or to the injection booth, he's referred to as a dead man walking. As above, the death sentence has already been passed upon mankind. And the only pardon tonight from this sentence that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, if you are living and breathing physically today, and yet you have not Jesus Christ in your heart, you are, unequivocally, you are a dead man walking. And the only thing that's going to pardon you, the only thing that's going to bring you to life, is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, "And you, you hath He quickened," which means bring back to life or bring to life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." He said you were dead. You said, "Wait a second, preacher, my heart's beating. My blood's pumping through my body. I'm breathing. My lungs are functioning. My brain's working. My eyes can see. All of these things are going." Yeah, but you're a dead man walking because of the death sentence that was cast down all the way from Genesis chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Did you notice that? Dead while you live. A dead man walking. That's why I say tonight, Lazarus laid up in that grave, Lazarus dead right here. This event that is recorded in John chapter 11 is a picture of man's answer to death. So we find that there's a laying dead in this chapter, a living dead in this chapter. We also find lives delivered. Look in verse 26. "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me," watch this, "shall never die." And then the question is turned right back on her. "Believest thou this?" There's the key, beloved. Do you believe? Do you want to believe? Do you desire to have your answer to your death today? If your body would die today, where would your soul go? That's the 64 million pound question. For the lives are delivered, there is but one place. Paul said this, "We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." If you die today in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you physically die today, the very next millisecond, you are to be present with Jesus Christ. Hands down. There is no intermediate period. There is no limbo. There is no soul sleeping. You go from this life and you go be with Jesus Christ. That's exactly where you are. Lazarus becomes to us tonight, this event that's recorded in John 11 becomes a picture, an answer to man's death. This is an answer for the living dead. In order for their lives to be delivered, Christ must make intercession. It must be made today, but it must be made following His instruction. Following His instruction, look with me in verse 38. Look at me and turn your page if you need to. Verse 38. The Bible says in verse 38, we're going to paint a bit of a picture here. It says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Remember, Jesus Christ is groaning here because of their disbelief, nothing else. The very shortest verse in the Bible is a few verses up, verse 35. What does it say? Jesus wept. He wept because of their disbelief. Verse 33 tells us that He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled, all because they did not believe. How troubling do you think it was, or it is for Jesus Christ, when we, His sheep, His servants, His saints, simply don't believe? Simply don't believe. Look there in verse 39, the very first part. Notice what it says. First five words. Take ye the stone. Take ye away the stone. This is where it begins. This is where it starts. Removing the hardened, stony heart that we have developed in our life experiences. And in the midst of this world, our hearts have become hardened and at times even hardened to the Word of God. And guys, to a certain degree, I can empathize and I can understand. My soul, if you keep up with any type of news, if you read any type of articles and you see the absolute lunacy that is going on in the world today, the things, the decisions, the choices that people are making, I mean, it's beyond common sense, man. And you sit back and you go, how much longer is the Lord going to wait? You almost, if you're not careful, you slip into the sandals of Martha, now don't you? You almost want to put those sandals on and go say, Lord, if you would have come back just a little bit earlier, we wouldn't be dealing with the lunatics out there who don't even know what type of clothes to wear. We wouldn't even been dealing with lunatics out here who don't know which bathroom to go to, my soul. Again, I said this a few weeks ago, your feelings does not matter. And that's the problem where we live today. Again, I'm not being hard-hearted. I'm not being unsympathetic to your needs. That's not what I'm being. If your feelings are hurt, I'll help you. I mean, if you're having a bad day, I'll help you. But how you feel doesn't dictate or should not dictate how you live. The truth decides that, not your feelings. If my feelings dictated how I live, there'd be some bad days now, wouldn't there? If you allow your feelings to dictate everything that you did and every decision that you made, you'd be a train wreck, and so would I. Our feelings are not to be the root of our decisions. Feelings come and go. And beloved, it's easy if you're not careful. If you don't have a solid hold on the Holy Scripture, and the things that are getting ready to happen, if you don't have some solid footing on the truth of the Word of God, this world's going to mess you up. The events of this life are going to mess you up good. But in order to receive the answer to man's death, stony heart's got to be removed. You've got to have a soft heart. It was commanded, not a request, by the way. He spoke it, and it happened. Jesus Christ didn't call a committee meeting and say, let's have a vote as to whether or not that stone should be removed. He says, move the stone. And guess what? The stone was moved. The Bible tells me, for the Word of God is quick and is powerful, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. That was Pastor Ellis's, my pastor. That was a man who led me to the Lord. That was his favorite verse right there. That Word of God will cut you up and it will heal you all in the same time. That Word of God is going to be used to discern. It's going to judge between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If your intention was to get something for yourself, but your thought was something good, the Word of God is going to separate those things. That's the way it works. So, beloved, Jesus Christ is not giving a request. He's not asking a question. He says, move the stony heart. If we want the answer to man's death to be inside of our hearts and our lives, if we want to see it in our days and our steps, if we want to see it in our actions, we've got to obey Christ. When He said, move the heart, move the heart. And quit, not allow the world to affect us. Not allow the idiocy of the decisions of the higher powers, if you will, to affect us and grow a hard heart. He says, get that heart out of the way so He can work. Look in verse 43 with me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. That they may believe. That's verse 42. This is the reason why He's getting ready to do what He's doing. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. These are the words, man. Take ye the stone, take ye away the stone, then Lazarus, come forth. That simple. My friend, when you open your stony heart to the Word of God, the instruction is, come forth where life is. Come forth where there be life. Come forth where there is life. Come forth where there's something that's going to make a difference in your life and consequently the lives of those that are around you. Get that stony heart out of the way, then Lazarus come forth. I've said it time and time again. Jesus Christ had to be very specific with who He's calling forth. Otherwise, every dead person in that grave would have came up then and there. So we find, my friend, that there was instructions. But your stony heart had to be removed to receive them. We find that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. We find that those prayers come, but sometimes they're not immediate. But we know that our Lord and Savior can perform the impossible. So I say this to you lastly tonight. When you open the stony heart to the Word of God, the instruction is to come forth where life is in an instant. Look in verse 44, the very first part. And he that was dead came forth. No other steps. He that was dead came forth. Not many times our prayers, hey guys, you know, many times our prayers are not answered in the immediate, but when we accept Christ's death, it turns into life instantly. Amen. Just like when the Lord said unto His church, Revelation chapter 4, and in verse 1, He says, Behold, a door is open unto me, and the first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking to me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Watch this in verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. When Jesus Christ looks down at His church, and He descends in His clouds, and He says, come up hither. It is an immediate, instantaneous action. Paul writes down by inspiration in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Speaking of those dead or still alive, my friend. Instantly. And again, I know I'm kicking a dead horse with this illustration, but twinkling of an eye is not the blinking of an eye. It's the amount of time it takes for light to refract inside of the eye, which according to physics is known as a planet of time, which is in 0.1 to the negative 45th power. That's how quick it is. Quicker than really our human comprehension. So, beloved, in closing tonight, what happens after life is granted unto the dead? Look in verse 44. He says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him. Let him go. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Guys, those grave clothes that were bound the dead is a picture of our sin. Solomon said, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Okay. Paul said, stand fast. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Beloved, Christ's final command unto our life being delivered is found in the last part of verse 44, loose him and let him go. His final command from the ones that went from death unto life was loose him and let him go. So, beloved, the cords of sin that keep so many lives held in bondage in this world today, living like the living dead, if you will, instantly can be saved, instantly can be cut loose if you'll just follow His commandment, obey His instruction. Many of your prayers may not be answered immediately, but God can perform the impossible. He has been doing it from day one. He'll do it till day end. So these commandments of loose him and let him go, these commandments tonight of what He said unto the dead, come forth. Unto the lost, the seen, it's come forth unto life. Unto the living, loose those grave clothes. And so I close with the words written by a man after God's own heart. David said himself, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. My friend, Jesus Christ tonight is the answer to man's death. And He is the only answer to man's death. But it is our choice, our decision. It is your choice and your decision whether or not to receive the instructions, allow Him to make the intercession, be willing to wait for what will not be immediate, but give Christ the opportunity to perform the impossible. Will you bow your heads this evening? Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here tonight. I pray that You give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us where we have failed You. I just ask You tonight, dear Lord, that if there will be one person listening to this message, no matter where they are or when they hear it, I pray, dear God, that they would search their hearts up and down. They would search their souls whether or not they have made an ultimate decision to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they may remove the stone from their heart, receive the instructions, and be clearly and soundly born again of the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we ask all of these things tonight. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving His life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that He gave His life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, for bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in You. Jesus Christ, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that You stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite You into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask You to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God Himself. That is a promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept His free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.